We have dedicated go-to-market partnership organization that is solely focused on driving revenue through partners. And then we have my org's tech partnerships, which is solely focused on driving value first to our customers.
Welcome to SaaS Connect, the SaaS Partnership Podcast, brought to you by the Cloud Software Association. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com.
All right, I guess we'll go ahead and just kick it off, do some quick intros. I know people are still filing in, but welcome to SaaS Connect Roundtable. I'm one of your hosts today, Sue Fernand, and I'm with 8x8, and I handle alliances and strategic partnerships here at 8x8, and excited to talk to you guys about tech integration marketplaces. I'll let Ashi, my co-host, do his intro.
Thanks, Sue. Nice to meet you all. Thanks for joining us today. I'm sure some more people are going to be pouring in a bit later. My name is Ashi Aber. I manage tech partnerships at Gong. So if you are not familiar, Gong is a revenue intelligence platform, and we have a marketplace called Gong Collective. So Gong Collective has over 130 integrations listed on it. We are very open about our APIs and endpoints integration areas. So the purpose of kind of like my team is to ensure we get as much as possible or expand the ecosystem of Gong partners across the board, and here for an interesting discussion today with Sue and all of you. Actually, let's keep it as interactive as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I probably should have given a little bit of background on myself as well. So 8x8, we're a cloud communications company, and we are building out an ecosystem. So that's something that I've been actually doing for the last few months. So it's very top of mind. So definitely interested to hear other people's insights on this, because I think I would love to see us get to the level of what Gong has built as well, because that's, in my opinion, what makes your products stickier, right?
Most definitely. So maybe that's a good place to start, right?
Yeah.
When we think about tech integrations. So I'll give like my two cents on why tech integrations are important and how they drive healthier customers and a better ecosystem. I'd love to hear your perspective as well, Sue. And obviously, anyone else here, just like chime in. But in a nutshell, the reason we decided to basically build a platform that has public APIs and access points to our platform to either pull data from Gong into other platforms or push data from other platforms into Gong is because ultimately it's about the experience of the end user. So we have customers in different areas of business, right? In different segments. A lot of them are using Gong for revenue purposes, but a whole bunch of them are using Gong for marketing, product, engineering purposes. And all of these frontline conversations basically have a lot of valuable data in them beyond revenue, right? Beyond driving revenue. So the idea of opening up our APIs and expanding them to enable tech partners to build on top of them, bottom line is to help our customers. So if our customers are using more integrations, they're going to have more stickiness to the solution. It'll be harder for them to look at other options or alternatives because very few of them or none actually have such a broad range of integrations to different tools. And that, first of all, drives customer satisfaction. It drives customer stickiness. And obviously, the second most important thing is making our partners happy. So we need to make sure we're not only making our customers happy, we're also ensuring the success of our partners. And there's a variety of ways we do that. We could talk about that later. But in a nutshell, that's how we think about tech partners and why they're so important in terms of driving usage of these integrations.
Yeah. And similar, again, we have entirely different products, but same type of interest in why we're doing this. I mean, for us at 8x8, our bread and butter is really our contact center. So that's what companies are using to power their interactions with their customers, right? So it's a really important part of the business, right? But just having that alone doesn't necessarily close the loop for everything that you might need to do to manage, you know, your agents effectively, or you're making sure that you're implementing AI, because that's top of mind right now, right? And as well as offering customers the ability to really communicate on whatever channel they prefer. Not everybody wants to pick up the phone and call anymore, right? So for us to try to be all of that we wouldn't be able to innovate enough on our core. So tech integrations are hugely important to us. We want to partner with best of breed solutions to really round out the offering from a customer experience standpoint, but also give our customers choices, right? And meet them where they're at. So that's kind of the reason that we're building out this ecosystem and why we feel, again, for stickiness, for being able to solve for these very complex communications needs within organizations, these tech partnerships are just key. So I guess, does anyone else want to kind of chime in on what kind of brought you to the roundtable today? Are you here to share experience or questions on, are you looking to build a tech technology partner ecosystem? We can keep this kind of super interactive.
Hi, everybody. My name is Megha, and I'm the founder of a company called Polyk. We are building a consumption-based metering, billing, and pricing engine. And of course, we started with the ISVs as our first customer base installed with, like, SaaS companies who are adopting consumption-based pricing. But as I have spoken to a lot of customers, and I'm based in San Francisco Bay Area, and I've spoken to a lot of companies who use cloud marketplaces and who use a lot of the partner ecosystem. So there are tons of challenges on the consumption-based pricing and enablement of revenue share ISV partners on that front, that how do you enable that from the user standpoint? How do you enable the ecosystem, whether you have different kind of partner, the ISV partner, reseller partners, white labeling of your services? So we are working with some of our customers to build that functionality. So our vision is to have a single platform where we give end consumers of the application same experience, irrespective of what channel they bought the service from, whether it is direct channel, whether it is cloud marketplaces. And especially when you're working with your partners, then, you know, how do you enable your partners to give the same consistent experience to the end customer? So that is the gist of the platform that we're building. And we are absolutely looking for more partnership opportunities and see that how we help this ecosystem to support, to solve some of their challenges and go to market together.
Excellent. Does anyone else want to introduce themselves and talk a little bit about your experience with tech partnerships?
Hi, good morning or good afternoon, everyone, wherever you may be. My name is Rob Santoliquio. I'm a business analytics and insights leader. And so what brought me here today was really to learn a little bit more about what technology is out there. In my world, part of the frustration or aggravation tax that I pay is the data is typically siloed, fragmented, disjointed, and so can't really harness the full power of that data. So I'm always looking for ways to do things quicker, better, smarter, faster, stronger. And part of that is looking for ways to integrate the data, deliver that through a single pane of glass, and have embedded analytics. And so that's what brings me here today, is really to see what else is out there. So I'm really here for learning purposes.
Awesome.
I have a question for Megha and for Rob, but I don't want to stop the flow of introductions here. So I'll just throw my questions out to Megha and Rob. Maybe you can address them briefly. But Megha, is your solution, you mentioned consumption-based and metering, is that the solution you're building, or is your solution based on consumption?
We're building. We're solving that problem for companies who adopt that model.
That's very interesting. Okay, so maybe we can come back to that later on. Very interesting. And then Rob, from your perspective, you actually touched on something that is, I would say, an interesting slash painful point when it comes to, I think, tech integrations specifically and analytics. And how are you measuring the usage of these integrations, right? What solutions are you pulling from? What visualization platforms you're using to visualize the usage of this, and how you basically can show ROI? So are you coming here to learn, like, what solutions are being used, or maybe share some of your knowledge with us? Because I would love to hear more about how you currently run your analytics and dashboards around partnerships.
So partnerships are tough. I would be lying if I told you that all the places that I've ever been, the data is fully clean and integrated.
Oh yeah, I think we all know that. Tough.
Yeah. So I'm probably in good company here. So hopefully no tomatoes are being thrown my way. Partnerships are tough. Actually, the last place where I was, I know that's what I was working on before I had left that organization, was really all of the logic used to make sure that we could just calculate how many partners we had to begin with. And then thereof, what products have they purchased? Where are the channels are they purchasing through? Just basic questions, right? How many customers do I have? What products are they buying? Where are they buying from? And so that's really the struggle. And so that's really what's bringing me here today, is trying to see what other technology is out there that might make my job a little bit easier. And to be perfectly transparent, it's a struggle, even for folks in my line of work, let alone the folks that run the different lines of business. it isn't really challenging to calculate and answer very basic business questions. And then I struggle with a lot of legacy issues. Legacy data seems to be number one in trying to make sure that data is actually cleaned, formatted, governed, and in a single location.
I think those are some challenges I think we all face, right?
One thing that I'm struggling with now is the way that we're structuring our ecosystem. We will sell some of the products. So some will be like a sell-through model, and then others will be sell with, right? So it won't transact on our paper. So we've got to have a mechanism. And again, you want that to happen a bit organically as well as time goes on and people learn more and more about the different types of integrations we have. But then you can sometimes lose that data. You could do it through API calls, but it's not 100% accurate. So I think that's the thing that I've been challenged with is when you aren't controlling the actual transaction, like how do you track the activity? How do you maintain that data when it's not necessarily data that you own?
So I know that in my world, a lot of the places where I've been, APIs are kind of an ideal, or at least for now, that's been working, depending on which type of API you're using, or type of API, I should say. But I've seen all too more often than not, it's mostly sharing spreadsheets back and forth through email, which is horrific from a data protection perspective, let alone real-time optics and trying to get things in on time for the QBR and the freshest data and data integration. So I'm still seeing, despite all these tools that are out there and the possibility that just APIs bring to the table, I'm still seeing people sharing data via spreadsheets. I know that there are tools out there that will let you provide a single pane of glass, both internally and externally. So again, I'm really curious to see what else is out there. But yeah, you'd be surprised how many large companies are still running on spreadsheets.
Definitely.
I'm Nate Revolt, Director of Partnerships and Bet Sales over here at Synchrony. Ecosystem's really interesting to me, partially because we haven't really touched much of it yet, candidly, and I'd like to. I'm still struggling to figure out if it's actually going to be a really good source of revenue for us or not. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at today. So yeah.
Quick follow-up question there, Nate. When you think of partnerships being a source of revenue, are you speaking about partnerships in general or more specifically tech partnerships? Like anything you want to elaborate that would be interesting because I could share from our perspective, we have dedicated go-to-market partnership organization that is solely focused on driving revenue through partners. And then we have my org's tech partnerships, which is solely focus on driving value first to our customers. And I would say a natural byproduct of that is obviously driving revenue, but it's not like kind of like the North Star of my org. So I'm curious.
Yeah, interesting because we actually approach this, we're almost backward. It's like a similar world as like a Trader or a Kado in that world, right? So like when we're talking about marketplaces, like potentially we're providing the underlayer for a marketplace, right? And I pass with the data score, right? So what I'm saying with that is that oftentimes, like we are building in the hopes of capturing some new ecosystem, right? Or extending into an ecosystem that customers have asked us to build for. And oftentimes partnership comes second to us building an integration, right? Because we're building the integrations to drive current business. And then we go off and we say, hey, we built an integration. Let's see if we can partner with this company and see if other customers would be interested in something like this, right? Which is obviously coming out of a much more revenue-focused world. But it is interesting to kind of figure out, okay, cool. How do I go create an integration marketplace of our own to talk about this stuff? Do I just go in and try to get clients in other people's marketplaces? Do we just try to go to your white label instead? There's kind of all kinds of considerations in that world. So I'm just really interested in how people are thinking about integration marketplaces. If this is something that people like really want to build, is this something that they're also interested for? Are they trying to achieve revenue out of it? Or are they trying to just expand TAM? Are they trying to just solve for current customer problems? There's all kinds of reasons people build this stuff. And I think it's super muddy, right? And I think that the results are super muddy also, right? Unless you are a Gong, I'm sure you have a good set of customers using that, right? Or a Salesforce or a HubSpot, right? Once you have a mature ecosystem, it's really easy to see the value of that, but it's hard early on. And yeah, I'm just interested in learning a lot more here. So yeah, thanks. I don't know if that helps.
No, that definitely does. And I think it's a bit all of the above. Because I think that's one of the things that I struggle with too, because I kind of own it all. It's not just technology partnerships. It's not just ISVs. It's not just integrations we may have built ourselves internally. It's kind of, we view that all as ecosystem. And I think that our focus for the most part on the front end of this is adding value to our customers, creating stickiness, helping our sellers sell because there'll be more choices. But there will be, you know, at some point, a goal of it being revenue generating, but it's got to get the flywheel going before we get to that motion. I think that our approach was, let's not try to do rev share and bill on API calls and connector fees and stuff like that up front, because we're just not mature enough there yet. And that would create some friction. So we tried to make it as frictionless as possible to get people into our ecosystem. And then we can kind of take them down the journey, right? And people will need to see value really in your program before they're going to be like, yeah, let me pay you rev share, right? So just getting kind of the operational stuff in line so that you can really, as Ashi said too, you want your partners to be successful in this as well, right? It's about your customers, but it's also about you as a company. And then also you want your partners that are in the program to feel like there's value.
Can I ask a question of the group? Because I'm curious. I realize I'm a really weirdo in partnerships because I do whatever I want, wherever I work, like building the data warehouse from scratch because there's no Tableau. So I started coding it in Python the last two places I worked. I realize I'm not a benchmark for anyone, but like one of the things that always interests me with integration marketplaces is it's obvious customers follow the data. So upstream data, downstream data, there are different things, but you need to complete the full loop. So a customer gets stuck to the product, otherwise you're useless. But I do wonder how many product teams internally even know how to measure their own impact. So how many product teams at your companies actually measure the profitability of features or even know how to do that? Because we did that everywhere. And if they don't know how to measure like their own internal code value, like I'm building a bunch of crap for their customers, I don't know if it's generating revenue or not. How do they evaluate partner stuff? And why do us partner people always have to deliver a business case for what is effectively a product enhancement? I do get very angry at CPOs when they, or VP products, when they don't have metrics and they start asking me questions. Not angry, but you know, like, well, let's start looking at your group first because it has to be apples to apples. They don't like that, of course. But how many of you have internal metrics for feature profitability?
So, you know, I've seen some really big companies with huge partner ecosystem. There is nothing. I spent so much time with like Cisco's and a lot of other big companies or big into partnerships. They have nothing, no metrics, nothing. People want to get there, but there's just no idea how to get there.
That's been my experience too. Like I see, I don't want to call any big, large companies out by name, but you're just, wow, you don't have this data. You're asking me to report to you who's using this connector. So I agree with you.
I think I, as well as some other people on this call, Sue, may have a clue who you're talking about. But
but we should have just one example, but there are tons of companies. Like every company that I work with, I interviewed like 50 plus companies before starting this company, because we are trying to solve some of those issues that give more, especially now when everybody's trying to be the cloud company. It's all about the value, right? Customers want value from the partners. Company ISVs want value from the partners, but then you don't have any tools to give any visibility to anybody. So of course, you have to bring your house in order first before we talk about value, right? So I think, nobody has any tools or token information.
Everyone has the tools, but no one looks at it. Well, some people do. I'll just tell you what we did at FreshBooks and OLARC and SocialText, or at least what I did, because I controlled the data, those companies. So to measure features, the value of each feature, let's take FreshBooks invoicing. So with invoicing, expenses, payments, CRM, we had a bunch of stuff in the product. We would break down based on activity, who's using what parts of the app, and just measure the LTV. So we just took how often are using a feature and then what are the LTVs of these accounts? And then you could see which features had the greatest impact on our net revenue, our gross revenue across all customers. And then you can at least stack rank which features were the most important to the most amount of money flowing through the system. And therefore, integrations were similar. You can then check which integrations, because they're just another feature, were attached to the most amount of revenue in the company. But then it's apples to apples. So engineering or product are complaining, we don't have time for this integration. We're working on this crazy thing. Well, and then we can just look at apples to apples. They're just code. It's just another feature, another product enhancement. Well, your product enhancements are worth this versus a Salesforce integration worth this. Therefore, it would make sense to put more effort where the money is, where the customers are demanding, right? So that's what we did. And almost everyone has an LTV data calculation. They just don't do it. And they have the analytics of the product. They just need to combine them using
Based on my recent conversations, and like with my customers, even those calculations have changed quite a bit now. Of course, the basic stays the same. I think the other challenge, the other dimension to this problem is now the whole cost aspect of it, right? Because building these applications have become so complicated. Like if you look at the cloud costs, so not including that into the mix of your unit economics and how do you measure the performance and the feature usage, right? That does not really give you the complete picture. I think every company I'm talking to these days, they're talking about this thing, right? Okay, how do we have visibility into not just the feature adoption and the usage matrix, but also that what does it cost us to build these features? And like, where do you see that profit and loss matrix? That's a new trend that I'm seeing that every company is talking about that.
Yeah, most people talk, VCs, when they talk about gross margins, have no idea what that means. And most of these companies have negative gross margins and will always be negative. They'll never will be profitable because they're not including the staff. I mean, actually, this is actually relevant on the channel. So if you have any kind of customer success, account management, professional services, and are keeping account alive, and you're not including that in your net, you're saying it's something else, then you are actually probably unprofitable on the subscription. But God help you, as a partnership person bringing it up to VP success, your CRO showing that every account coming in is unprofitable, you're going to get thrown out of that company pretty quickly. So
it's really interesting from my side to hear this too, because typically we're having to argue for this, right? We're coming in and we're saying, hey, look, you don't need to go build all these integrations. You can use something like us, right? And often we try to say, hey, look, this is the cost of a full-time resource versus doing it with us, right? And try to have that conversation, but very few people put those together and view it all the same, right? So it's kind of interesting that you say that, Samir. I don't think most people in the world are actually viewing it in that context, right? It's like, it's almost this esoteric, hey, this integration business case thing that we maybe need to do. And then there's this tangible cost over here for development on stuff we're doing for the product today, right? And it's like, they have a really hard time kind of saying, hey, these are actually interrelated and potentially working with each in a different way could mitigate one or another, right?
You're hitting me in all my favorite anecdotes here. So I have another story. So I worked for BeFree for a while. And that's like a tool that's basically a drop-in to replace engineering. So it's an email design template thing. And I guess AppWine now, we're building the full agency portal. So you can do all the account management stuff and just drop in using JavaScript tag. So same thing, selling its engineering. My go-to plan there is you always want to show on CapEx, like initial development, it's going to be 1/3 the cost of an engineering. So that's pretty hard to argue with to the CRO or CFO. But this VP Eng and VP product, they don't care. They're basically the silk scarf wearing creative minds who drink fancy coffees. They don't actually look at the numbers, right? But what they do care about is the engineers who are, let's face it, I'm an engineer, prima donnas. And so then you point out that if the internal team builds out this integration or whatever they're building, you're going to have to chain 1.5 engineers to their desk for the rest of their careers, maintaining this code base. And no engineer wants to be attached to something that's not core product because it's like a career ender. And you will end up with the engineers rebelling and killing the project simply because they don't want to work on it. No engineer wants to build a partner portal and get stuck to it because they cannot get a job afterwards and it's boring. And so that is what internally, like, okay, well, you're welcome to build it internally, but make sure you talk to engineers that this is going to be their forever project internally. Like, make sure they are aligned. They want to do this. If they want to do this, great. If they don't want to do it, all you got to do is create an internal problem with your staff later. If they don't want to do it, don't waste your engineers who are precious little rubies and gems, little flowers and daffodils. I'm a little happy flower, as we all know. I'm a delicate soul. So, you know, you don't want to piss me off. I'll just wither away and blow into the wind. The main thing they're afraid of, right?
I don't mean to put anyone on the spot here, but I feel like having GJ in the room here, you should speak up, my friend, and introduce yourself. This is unplanned, by the way. I didn't know you were going to be here today. Being who you are and what you are, this topic, come on, makes sense. Yeah. Kind of like lay this up for you.
Yeah, you're definitely putting me on the spot. I'm just indeed not staged. So Ashi is a great partner of us at Gong, where we help them build together the integrations marketplace. And when most of the time that engineering teams, they don't want to spend building their precious time an integration marketplace or a partner portal or even scaling integrations. So figuring out how APIs work all the time to scale out that effort engineers want to work on the shiny stuff. And that's what we want to enable at API Direct, is to unload those teams to really focus on the right thing, building the core product, also making it more tangible to prove ROI of investing in partnerships and integrations, and being able to showcase the partner marketplace and ecosystem that they're building of all the integrations that they offer with the market, and really get the value out of that. So that's what we try to do for our customers. And was also the reason why I co-founded the company, because before this, my first company, we were building integrations all the time. You need to build a core product at the same time, and you want to have those superpowers of being connected to Salesforce, being connected to HubSpot, being connected to NetSuite, and all those powerful ecosystems. So that's something that we try to solve by building a universal API layer to connect easily to those platforms, but also at the same time for leading companies like Gong to showcase all the powerful third-party developers and companies, partners building on top of their APIs to show how they can be better together with other partners and how those solutions can work together.
And what was the name of your company again?
It's called API Deck.
API Deck. Okay. Definitely going to check that out. That's super interesting, because I agree with like everything Sunir said. I 100% agree with, because it is kind of that hot potato within organizations. Like, I don't want to touch partner portal. Like, it's not exciting. No one really wants to work on it, but it's so necessary. And not everything is purpose built, right? So it's kind of, I like the way you explained it too, how it's not only just managing partners, but it's also, it sounds like you're also able to like connect partners that might have complementary solutions. Cause that's another thing that we always talk about in this world, right? Is like, the 1 + 1 = 3, right? Like, I envision when our sellers are out there talking about our contact center being the core, that they're pulling 3 or 4 different ecosystem partners into that discussion. If we start to see a lot of correlation there, then that's kind of like the miracle stack or something, or maybe it's vertically based. Like, hey, if you're an insurance company, these 4 ecosystem partners plus 8x8 contact center is like the keys to a really successful engagement with your customers. So that I'm going to have to definitely.
I would super agree with that, actually. To just to piggyback off what he was saying, right? I think like the ability to kind of come in and create like a universal integration layer allows you to both standardize inputs and outputs of your business, but also allows you to create these multi-partner kind of solutions, right? Like, we've started going out and creating multi-partner solutions with like multiple other enrichment and intent solutions. So you can provide that to any data set inside an organization, right? And like, we're able to do that because we use our own tool, right? And I'm sure GJ's like seeing the same stuff, right? Both internally and then across customers, right? Being able to actually say, hey, no longer do we have to do like this. Okay, integrate with you. We'll all try to do something together and make it happen, right? We can actually be in a place where we're saying, hey, there's a central layer, right? And then we can all integrate with that and make something happen, right? And that actually is a very interesting piece of this whole kind of ecosystem, at least outsourcing the ecosystem piece that I think about.
Yeah.
One of the challenges that some of the businesses or larger businesses or maybe some of your customers are facing, the executives acknowledge that the partner channel is highly profitable. That every QBR or strategy planning session I've ever dialed into, they want to go there because that's where the margins are for them, right? It's highly profitable. They recognize that. There's no question. Some of the frustration is the connection. And so, GJ, I love your platform here. That makes it look really easy. So thank you for that. I'm going to look into your business there for the API connection. But some of the challenges are
that
middle layer. I'm sorry?
GJ is not paying me, but I'll say highly recommend. I give him enough of a hard time on feature requests regardless, but very responsive, not a big company. So you always get the founder's attention and very helpful for what we're building at Gong.
Yeah, so definitely check it out, GJ. I'm kind of curious to see how that compares with something like an Informatica or Talent or something like that. I think some of the frustration they have is the legacy data is siloed. And so some of the markers on the data are missing, right? So you have legacy data A, legacy data B, right? And they're not quite in the same format. This one might be missing some fields, some dates, some timestamps, et cetera, et cetera. Nate, I see you nodding, shaking your head, smiling, Riley there. But that's some of the frustration. So there's no amount of connectors I think can kind of solve for that. And so you have this wedding between the API and then the manual SQL hard coding in the background. That those two seem to kind of have to go together. But GJ, you're probably much more expert at this than I am, considering that's your business, where I'm more in the analytics space and kind of masquerading in the data integration role out of necessity. But I think that's some of the frustrations that I know that I have, and that some of my stakeholders have on the business side. And those markers just are missing. And it's tough to kind of put a square peg in a round hole.
I feel like I'll be selling if I keep going, but yeah, there's definitely some places.
So anyone else that we haven't heard from some of the crew, does anyone else want to jump in and do quick intro and talk a little bit about what interests you about this roundtable?
Yeah, I'll pop in real fast too. So John Hamrick, I work at impact.com. I was brought in about a little over a year ago to help create a marketplace here. We are a partner management platform, highly focused on affiliate and influencer. We have expanded beyond that at this point, but I guess we've had great success with agency partnerships. We've had great success with like publisher style partnerships. Our C-suite wants to move more towards tech partnerships, which we do have relationships. The team's about 2 years old. It's 11 people at this point, but the focus has continually changed, which I've been at a few companies working in tech partnerships. So it's always constantly changing directions. But I think my end goal here is to try to get this marketplace launched to try to support the wants and needs of our company. But we're constantly battling back and forth with the C-suite as to, is it a core product? Should we build it internally? Should we partner with somebody to build it temporarily? So that's the constant battle I'm running into. And the fact that our product was not built to integrate easily. So getting multiple teams involved, from getting our security team, our OAuth team, we have 32 different product teams. So trying to get their input, which is kind of hard to do as well. So I kind of joined in to figure out what everybody's working on and the directions that you guys are kind of going, because I feel like I'm constantly getting redirected with what we want, what we need, and where we should kind of focus. So I think obviously hearing GJ speak, it might be great to connect after this call and kind of see what you guys are working on and if you might be able to help us.
So I think like the one thing to know with all this stuff, right? Like, is there's no kind of panacea, right? Like you just really have to decide what your marketplace you're going to achieve, right? Is this like as Ashley was already saying, right? Is this revenue generating? Is this to extend for customer functionality that they need? Is this to build a partnership that you think is super critical? What are you building for, right? Because they're going to be vastly different. And it's also going to be vastly different what your focus is and then what you're even putting in the marketplace, right? So if you're driving revenue, you probably want to extend the functionality of your platform. So you want something that's actually like maybe an automation / integration marketplace, right? And that's maybe something like, hey, when you do this with this app, you can maybe do, right? Or something, right? If you just want to connect stuff and you're just trying to ingest analytics or push analytics out of your platform somewhere else, that's a whole different thing, right? You might be able to do that via a unified API or a unified integration layer of some kind, right? And there's kind of a mix and match between those. So like, I think you really have to kind of understand, one, how many of these things out there are there? The true one, right? Is it like 10 apps or is this like 200 apps, right? Are you guys going to want to build them or are you thinking partners are going to build them? Because if partners are going to build them, you're going to have some incentive for them to do that. And there's going to have to be a whole bunch of people knocking at your door, right? And then are you going to start big or small, right? You're going to start with a couple, test it. Or are you going to kind of go everything at once? And some iteration of all those three, you kind of really have to think through like revenue, product functionality. Is it going to extend things? Like, how's this going to impact your engineering team? All that stuff.
Yeah. And we've been kind of battling around with all that, whether we monetize a marketplace, whether we monetize APIs, because a lot of our partnerships are CDPs, MMPs, people that are pushing data or reporting. So it's one of those where a lot of times like a direct integration, like a widget style integration is not on the table, but there's a lot of pushing and pulling of data that a lot of people want to use our platform for, or use other platforms to pull our data to. So that's kind of been the battle of figuring out exactly what the focuses are going to be and whether we resell, whether we do partnership fees to be part of the marketplace. So there's a bunch of different stuff we're kind of throwing around when it comes to that. But at the end of the day, our C-suite has also seen the value of referral partners, and they want tech partners to be that shiny referral partner, which typically is not always the case because a lot of these are down market from us. So we're kind of trying to gently push back in the, guys, this isn't what this type of tech partnership is. But I think there's a disconnect. I've kind of seen that with some of the other companies I've worked with in the past. Do you guys kind of see that too? Of there's that, guys, tech partners are going to be the massive referrals that we're going to get from these guys. It's going to be great for the business. And it's like, that's not typically what I've seen at all.
I think it's defining like what those relationships are, right? And like how they're structured. I think a lot of times for me anyway, like the tech partnerships, it's kind of almost like a have to, right? Like we need to integrate with a lot of them because they're everywhere, right? And your customers are likely using those technologies. And if you don't have an integration, well, then you won't even be in consideration. But I think especially when a tech company gets well established, you're one of many. So you can't sit back and just expect referrals to come your way, right? You got to kind of work the system and create the awareness on your own and maintain those integrations on your own. So you're right. I think it's not a realistic expectation to expect referrals from like the technology partnerships. I think it's more referrals from companies that are maybe out there trying to find solutions for their customers that they could make a recommendation on some apps, could be yours, maybe some others in your ecosystem. I think that referral model might work out well. But even like the ISV partners, you know, they may find business on their own, but I think it's going to have to be a little bit of a push and pull, right? You're going to have to, the reason they're going to want to join your program is to get in front of your customers, right? Or be a part of your sales motion. So having that kind of defined and offered in your program and getting them to see that there's an opportunity there, I think that's kind of more of the motion. It's not for every company. I mean, that's how I'm looking at it for what we're setting up, but I'm sure others might have different experiences.
Yeah, I would just add to that. If you go out to send an integration marketplace up and you're looking at it to generate revenue, especially quick, you're going to have a real bad time and you're going to look really stupid because you're not going to do that quickly. I would say that might come eventually, but most of the time monetizing probably comes a whole lot later than actually going and just providing the functionality and seeing if people use it. Right? Otherwise, you're going to be trying to build all these programs around how you build for this and how you monetize, how you pay people back. And
it gets tricky to manage for sure.
I think we're all saying pretty much the same, right? Start with value. Revenue is secondary. But if I were to throw one more idea out there, we spoke about this earlier, analytics, right, Rob? I think at least at a level of, forget causation for a second, but correlating good or healthy customers to those who are leveraging tech partners is one way to show healthy ROI of tech integrations. So if I were like really dumb it down is or simplify it, we have these five integrations. Let's look at usage of these integrations based off of API calls or amplitude, whatever solution you're using to see usage of certain integrations. Look at all the customers that are using these integrations and compare those to those customers who are not using integrations. What is their performance look like versus others? Typically, you should be able to correlate successful and healthier customers to those who are using integrations. Now, the question of like, what comes first, right? They're a healthy customer and that's why they're using integrations, or they started using integrations and then they became a healthy customer. It's probably the former more than the latter, unfortunately for all of us. But I do think you're able to show that correlation in a pretty, if you're able to show that correlation in a pretty apparent way, that helps your argument, quote over quote, of like, here's the value we're actually providing to the organization because like, here's the data and it's hard data. So I think that's one way to get started around ROI of integrations.
And I think you can, on that same note, kind of go up and say, hey, we want to start making a push around people to use these integrations, whether you do it through Crossmember or Reveal, you find out, hey, we're mutuals, we need to get them started using our mutual integration. And now, do we see any kind of, right, are we churning less? Are we monetizing more or whatever, right? But it is a long tail, right? It's not something you can just be like, cool, yeah, we're driving X revenue, right? So probably 6 months, maybe even a year before you actually can. Oh, okay, cool. We didn't churn out those 10 customers who would have churned out or whatever it was.
Right.
You have to be really careful about tracking and everything too, so you know what to equate.
Right.
Yeah. Good morning. Simon Church, I'm at Box. So technology partnerships, Box has ecosystem of 1,500 integrations, what we found is that the magic number across our customers is 2 integrations. So if we can get them to 2, then net retention stickiness is going to improve significantly. And for that matter, the push is more about how do we get these integrations into the hands of our customers as opposed to driving revenue for the integrations and creating that friction that's going to prevent that piece from happening. So we do have an app center. We struggled actually to rebuild it. It was only rebuilt maybe a year or two ago, but it went for about 6 to 8 years when it looked like something out of the 20th century. So it was a little bit embarrassing, but it was something that we were trying to get our partners to use more, but it just didn't really look great. And I think it's for some of those reasons that you talked about earlier. It wasn't a top priority. Engineers didn't want to work on it, but then we changed that and we've redone that. But yeah, the essence really is our customers see the value of having Box integrated into all the applications. It will drive a much better user experience. So that's why we've had 1,500 integrations. 98% of those integrations are partner built. A very small percentage of them are Box built, just because it's such a challenge getting the resources and doing that. And you can imagine which partners those are. It's Salesforce, Microsoft, Slack, those types of integrations. I think that's it. But, and then we've tried referral partnerships where we went down that route for a while, but to be perfectly honest, the operational side of that and actually trying to get referral fees from either side, it didn't generate a tremendous amount of revenue that was really noticeable. What we found is where it makes sense, we'd just rather introduce a customer to a partner as long as they're using the integration and have them go ahead and use that partner. We'll make the introduction. As long as they use the integration, that gets us one of the 2 integrations and the customer is happy, the partner's happy. It's a value exchange without all the complexity of trying to figure out the referral piece in the middle of it. So anyway, just wanted to add some, I really enjoy the conversation, interested to see how everyone else is thinking about it. Wanted to share a few thoughts on how Box is thinking about it.
That's awesome, Simon. I love what you said about the magic number being 2 integrations, because that's the messaging that we're trying to get across to our teams, right? It's like, yeah, you may not even sell these products. So it's not, you have to get the salespeople excited about, hopefully this helps them close and get the sale over the line. But it's also from a retention standpoint, if that's the magic number, and we need to figure out kind of what our magic number is. But I like the idea of 2, because it's not too much, but I think that's a great statement to make. Like, you guys have done some analytics there, it sounds like. And if 2 is keeping the retention rate high, I mean, that's huge for SaaS companies. It's so easy to churn, right? So I think that's huge.
Yeah, then it becomes easy for everybody, the whole company, to get on board, whether it's sales, CSMs, whatever the role. Okay, we just need 2. And let's make this easy. No charge, no
very prescriptive, friction, right? Yeah.
No referral fees, no whatever. Let's figure out how we get all our customers to 2. And hopefully that's going to drive the results that the analytics is showing. Now the question is then, there's the Microsoft where everybody has that and has that integration. Does that count as 1, or is that?
So funny that you said that, because you're right. Some of them are like, well, come on now. Everyone uses Salesforce, or everyone uses Teams, or something along those lines, right?
Exactly. And presumably those are easy to switch out, but there is still some friction between having that and having to switch out nonetheless. So it's better to have those than it isn't. And I think there's still analytics around, does it have to be, or can it be one of those players where everyone has that integration, but they could easily, but our competitors also have that integration. Does that play a piece in it, or does it have to be something bespoke and unique? But I believe it's the 2 is really across the board, and maybe over time it'll fine tune. Maybe there are some integrations that are really super high in terms of stickiness and others are a little bit lower, but certainly our early analytics are showing the 2 marks is critical. And that's certainly something that everyone can buy into, accept and move towards, and have that be their goal.
Simon, clarifying question. You mentioned 2 integrations, but then for a moment there, you mentioned 2 customer success managers. So are you counting those 2 users as 2 distinct integrations? Just a clarifying question. I conflate users with integrations. That's why it was just a clarifying question.
Okay. I'm not quite sure what the reference was to the users, but we're just talking about 2 integrations across our customers will drive a higher net retention and a higher stickiness.
Okay. Just to make sure, I don't want to conflate an integration with an end user. correct?
Exactly, yeah. There wasn't an intentional mention of an end user. It was purely an integration used across a customer.
All right, thank you for clarifying.
Super interesting. Simon, I have a gazillion questions, which I'm going to avoid myself from asking because in this forum, at least, because one question will lead to another. But I just have to say that we're looking at very similar metrics and trying to figure out what that magic number is and how we should be kind of like approaching it in terms of driving the adoption of those integrations. Do we look at tiers in integrations, or is it just like, no matter which integration, so long as you're using 2+, we're in a very healthy spot with that customer?
Yeah, my sense around the analytics is it's going to be a layered approach to the analytics. That's what we're figuring out. But I think at a high level, our analytics team can come up with that 2 mark. Now, not every integration is created equal. So I imagine over time, as we dig into specific integrations, I'm sure there's a lot more digging that can be done. So at a very high level, we have this 2 number, but yeah, I'm sure it's skewed in different areas in terms of which ones influence that more versus which ones could, may not. But I think just the action of having to switch one out is certainly helpful. But yeah, so I think it sounds like you're getting started early. So in terms of not really boiling the ocean, but even if you can just come out with a number and realize it's going to be a journey of analytics that's going to extend for over a period of time to get to a more finessed sense of the highest impact integrations.
Simon, I'm sorry, the inner nerd in me just has to ask because I'm curious. So what data points are you able to capture once a single integration is implemented? Which data points are you capturing?
So we're looking at the number of enterprises, and then we look at IWOW's integration weekly active users, and then monthly active users.
There is the usage component you are able to track in terms of both volume and the sync users and total volume, et cetera.
Yeah, no, I'm certainly not an expert in terms of how our analytics team looks at that, but that's sort of just the crude high-level metrics that get published in a Tableau report that we can look at on a day-to-day basis. So we can see that for the integrations that we built, but then given that we have 1,500, it's a little bit cruder for all the ones that partners have built. So certainly we're motivated to understand our investment in our own product resources to build out our integration. So the analytics are certainly a lot deeper around those, but we do have some more cruder ones just across our partner built integrations.
Something that might be of value to your analytics team, and I know we're pressed for time here, some type of share of wallet, because if you're the service provider, right, you're providing the service, it might be a bit of a stretch to say, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Customer, would you mind sharing with us what proportion of your sales team, for example, closes more deals, larger deals, closes them faster compared using the product compared to those who don't. So to get around that, could you say for share of wallet, so to speak? So if you sold it to a mid-sized company or a large-sized company, could you use that as a proxy for your denominator? And then your numerator would be number of users or how much time they're using the product. Something that would give you some type of ratio that says, okay, with people who work in an enterprise space versus mid-size versus small, right? What's the ratio of number of users or time using the product with customers who do renew compared to those who don't? And then you can create some type of cohort or cluster analysis around that, something to consider.
Yeah, there's a whole matrix of analysis, and we have 115,000 customers. That is, of course, a broad swath. And how does that factor of two integrations really transpire across SMB versus mid-market and enterprise? And is that whole true? So yeah, there's certainly all sorts of levels of analytics. I think they can take this to finesse it further, and that will happen over time.
Actually use that to proactively go after customers that are either more likely to renew or less likely to renew and intervene. So that's another way that you can leverage those data points in order to reduce churn and increase renewals.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
The whole problem with the integrations too is like, how well do they work? And how do you know if they're actually doing what your customers want, or are they actually churning customers because they work so badly? So that's a whole separate topic.
Well, guys, it looks like we're almost to the last of our couple minutes here. Anyone else have anything else they want to quickly discuss? Awesome. Well, this was great. I always love jumping on these things because I always learn some new things. And we should definitely all connect on LinkedIn if anyone wants to connect on me. Happy to connect. These are great discussions. Sounds like it's always kind of a nice way to level set and realize that like the challenges that I'm going through are challenges that everybody goes through in partnership. So it's nice to know that we're not alone, right?
Good to be there, everyone. Thanks for your time today.
Great meeting everybody.
All of you.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.
If you like this and want more great insights on software partnerships, you've got to rate, like, and subscribe. And join us at thecloudsoftwareassociation.com. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com. We'll see you on the next episode.